The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. This is my new radio voice. Get the girls going. Today, Matt and I talk about 205. We cover everything that happened. And we also talk to Gegard Mousasi.
Should I talk like this?
Yeah, you should. It's sexy. A couple of men. A lot of dirty language coming up. We try not to say fuck, but it slips out.
He may finish it here.
Oh, he's out.
UFC and Digital Media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by Digital Media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
What an event. Can you turn off that air conditioning, please? It's minus -5 in here.
I'm not sweating.
I know. But we can turn it on if you get uncomfortable.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You never know what to expect when you go to a giant event. Will it live up to the hype? Will it not live up to the hype?
And first of all, thanks for the what great tickets we had.
I was embarrassed by how good the
first
tickets
row.
Were. I was literally ashamed and felt unworthy of the tickets. Dana, what an amazing set of tickets.
And not
to
fast forward because I don't want to skip to the end. But what about when me and you were walking out and I dropped my ticket? And I'm like, and you're like, dude, it's history. Pick it up.
I'm like, it's the first.
I'm like, oh, I'm not going to litter anyway. I go, I don't know why. What the hell's the matter with me? Why would I leave that thing on the floor?
Because you weren't sure. You know, you're not necessarily a collector saver. You know,
right? I picked that thing up, though. I did pick it up. But
I could not believe how good the seats were. And we got better. We had Dana originally gave us these fucking phenomenal seats, which is right the row where the fighters walk into the ring. And we were in seats 7-8.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and like, you know, I'm watching, you know, I think the Jim Miller fight, I watch a bunch of the earlier fights, and Bilal Muhammad got fucked up. And then, you know, somewhere around the beginning of the main car, these two big guys are sitting behind me. They go, hey, would you mind switching with these girls down there? So I look to the right, and maybe it was six seats down towards the center. Even better
seats.
That's
where I got.
That's where you got.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm such a fucking fruit. But I'm like, they had the tickets. And they're like, we're with those girls. And I'm like, basically they said that you want to move six seats closer. So I moved six seats closer knowing that my pal Matt will be joining me. He's cornering Chris Weidman. And what a fucking... By the way, this is what an asshole I am. Yeah. I was sitting next to a guy, good looking guy, and he looked familiar. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And I introduced myself. I'm like, hey, Jim. He goes, hey, Boyd. I'm like, cool. And I didn't talk to him again. I get home and I realize it's fucking Boyd Holbrook, the lead from Narcos. One of my favorite shows.
I love that show.
I know. He's the one, the blonde
watch
guy.
That show. Oh, okay.
I'm such a bag of shit.
Yeah, it's so. I heard the new Spider-Man was there too.
He was. I got a picture of him
sitting,
by mistake.
Was he sitting near us?
Yeah, because you know why? Amanda Nunes and her, I think, is she married or is it her partner?
I think it's her partner, yeah.
Came and sat down. And Amanda's a little shy, so we took
a
picture.
Yeah, I saw her. That was nice. She's nice.
The picture got him in the background.
Oh, get out of here.
And Stipe and his gorgeous wife.
Yeah, I saw Stipe.
His wife is a 10.
Yeah, she's 10.
I wonder if she met him before. He's a handsome guy.
Yeah.
So even if he wasn't a fighter, he'd probably meet a beautiful girl because he's a big giant. Like women feel safe. Like a good-looking girl needs a guy like that she can feel safe with. Girls like that don't date me because they get hit on in bars and I can't defend them.
Come on, don't say that.
I can't do anything. Like, she gets hit on in a bar.
Dude, go ahead.
I'd be like, come on, that's my lady. You know, Stipe would just fucking pick you up by the feet and smash your teeth on the bar.
Yeah, you laugh your way into their heart, though. That's what you do.
Yeah, but no woman wants it. They want a
guy.
You
laugh your way into their pants.
Who can defend them like an animal. She wants a guy who can protect her, not a guy
that's
who can tell jokes.
I'll bite somebody's head off.
Yeah.
But, what was I going to say? So listen, let's talk about our experience. The event itself was fucking amazing, and the fights were amazing. The fights lived up to the to that epic card. I mean, and sometimes they don't live up to. You see a card and you see it on paper, and you're like, oh, you know, it looks great, and then it doesn't play out that way. This one looked on paper like it was going to be amazing, and I thought it was fucking amazing,
phenomenal. You know? Was absolutely perfect.
Personally, well, we'll get to the fights individually. I mean, well, my experience though, I mean, only obviously, you know, I'm super bummed out about Chris. Yeah. It's just, I can't explain it. I mean, when you see, I'm really close with my guys too. Like it sucks, man. It sucks seeing a friend of yours. Cause this is, listen, it's a sport. We all know this, but it's the hurt business.
Sure.
So you see your friend like just get dropped in front of you and hurt, you know, it sucks, man. Cut open, you know, bleeding. It just is. I don't want to bring this thing into, I don't want to make this thing a bummer, but it's interesting. Oh, so like,
well, how many people listening have ever cornered a fight? That's really interesting.
It's just so gut-wrenching, and it's just like you just get your fucking guts ripped out, you know, and you see your buddy get taken out like that.
Did you think, let me ask you, as a guy, did you, in that first round,
he had a great first round.
Did you know, it seemed like you all had no idea how to time him or to get in, and Chris was much more aggressive than I thought he'd be.
We're going to talk about the other fights, but we'll just talk about this
because it's so
special. You know, the first round started off great, and Chris, you know, because Romero is a southpaw, it's very important when you shoot and when you're looking to take him down that if you just go to do a normal shot and the guy's southpaw, you're going to be going towards his powerful leg, his power side, whether it's his left hand or his left knee. So you can shoot like a speed demon, boom, get underneath. He just brings that knee forward an inch, you know, hips forward. You're going to go right into a knee. I mean, there's some fights that come to mind. One fight with the same fighter is Carlos Newton versus Pele. Is a fight that comes to mind, which he took the knee and ended up weathering it and getting on top and I forgot how he finished him, but he submitted him. And then the same guy, Carlos Newton versus Anderson Silva, and he didn't survive that one. Right. That was both in Pride, and he took his freaking head off with that knee, like a jumping knee when he went to shoot. So you need your head always to the outside. So you see in the beginning when Chris was fighting, he'd be scooping up that leg, scooping up the lead leg, and that's how he got him down a couple times in that first round. Hard to keep the guy down, but that's how he would do it. Yeah. So he was, but it was working beautiful, and he was mixing it up as far as with the fakes, the fainting.
Yeah.
Like you don't know if he's striking, you don't know if he's looking for that leg. And his distance was good.
Do you think his aggressiveness took Romero a little? Because I was surprised to see him as like he wasn't trying to give Romero. He was really aggressive. Were you surprised by that too?
I was just. He looked very sharp.
Very great in that first round.
Now the second round, the last 30 seconds probably lost him the round. Up until that, you know what I mean. I have to watch it again. When I was in the moment, I know we needed the third because in the second round. I got to see the flurry where it was at some point, whether Chris went to get up too quick or from a takedown scramble. I got to see it again because it's when I was in the moment.
Sure.
Anyway, he got on his back though. He got his back looking to put Chris down. And Chris was fighting his hands, hips forward, and making sure he was trying to get his back to the cage because that way he can't be on the back. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just like if you are on the ground and the guy's on your back and your belly up, you want to get your back to the floor. That way, if your back's to the floor, obviously he can't be on your back and you just have to watch out for the mount. In this case, when you're standing, you want to get your back to the cage. That way the guy can't follow you. You might still be up against the cage, but you know, you're not getting thrown down. The guy's not jumping on your back with the hooks and whatnot. So Chris was doing a good job fighting it off. And then how the round ended was with Romero on top looking to throw down some blows because he got that takedown.
Right.
So it was 1-1. Going into the third round, we really stressed that he needed that last round, mm-hmm. and he was coherent and he was responsive and I felt good about it. I didn't get off that stool thing. I saw how tired Romero was, you know. So I'm thinking,
was he rocked at all though? Was he surprised by how Romero
hit?
No, he
was good. He was good in between rounds. I mean, that is some guys are spaced out. Some guys it's like, yo, I can't get through to this guy. I feel like Chris knew he needed the round, and I'm not exactly sure the time of when he got caught, but it was pretty early in that third round.
First 30 seconds, 40 seconds,
I think. Because he looked the part right there in that third round, like it was going to get it done, and then sure enough, it's almost like You got the time?
Yeah, it was 24 seconds.
Okay.
Third round.
And again, every second's an eternity in there. Yeah. But, you know, in the beginning, I remember feeling good about, like, what, you know, that third round. Like, he's gonna take this. I felt good because the other guy looked worse.
A little tired, yeah.
Yes. And Chris could pick it up. I know Chris could fight for five rounds hard, sure. You know? So again, man, it's like a reaction. It's like if you're so used to shooting a certain way, even if you did the right thing the whole camp and you did it in sparring, it's like throwing a ball at your face. It's a reaction.
You just react.
When the guy, yeah. I got to see when the guy went to either looks like he was going to whether he looked like he was going to strike, he mistimed the shot. His head went to the wrong side. Excuse me. His head went to the wrong side. And that's when he jumped at the same time right into that thing. And, you know, that's a bad combination with a powerful dude like that. So,
if he had gone to the proper side,
yes.
Where would he have gotten hit?
No, he wouldn't have gotten hit.
Oh, he wouldn't have. No. He would have totally missed it.
Okay. So if you're in a mislead and I shoot to that side, to your power side, I'm shooting into the knee. If my head's coming to the outside, I'm outside of the knee. I'm scooping up just like he did earlier.
Okay.
He keeps scooping up that leg. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's very unfortunate. And then, you know, he got dropped and hurt and... The first thing I said was, he's hurt. He's hurt, you know, and then, you know, that sucks. And then, so then after that, for myself, you know, I had to go backstage with Chris and the tent and this and that. And then, you know, it's good that they stitch him up right there. That's nice.
So how then, bad was the gash?
The next fight, it was bad.
Yeah, it was.
Right? I don't know how many stitches or anything, but, you know, but so then the next fight was Joanna.
Can I actually jump in, yes. Matt? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Were you guys annoyed in the corner at all? Because I was obviously
yes.
Waiting for Wyman about the water again
now,
with Romero.
Again, now before the fight, and Longo brought it up to Mario
Yamasaki,
who's a good guy who's I know forever, and was actually the first ref when I fought back in UFC 31. He was my first ref, Mario. Good guy, though. I know him forever. But so we told him, we go, look, man, it's not only like the ice in between rounds or like on the floor, or like the last time he's on that stool for so long, he's known for like getting put, you know, that type of shit. Like, you know, get the water all over. He's got to get wiped down. And
which gives you more time to breathe.
It's fucking tactics, man.
It gives you more time
yes.
to relax.
What happened at the beginning of that second round? And, you know, about to start it. And all of a sudden, no, wait, get a towel. And Mario grabs the towel rightfully. And right away, we're just like, boom.
People
we're like,
going, yeah.
You see us standing up, like, oh, dude, what the fuck? And then Romero, even to us, it was almost like, you know, and it's weird because it's almost like after he fought Tim Kennedy, how he seems like a real nice guy. You know, he's like, oh, like, sorry. But yeah, you're still doing it, man. And it's not like the first time you got caught with shit like that, like doing shit like that. So you think you'd be on your best behavior, but whatever. Anyway, you know, but I don't want to be sour grapes. The guy won fair and square as far as the fight goes.
Yeah, it was a really good move.
It blows, but the only thing, you know, I seen Chris later that night, which I felt better about. We were in his room eating pizza later
at night.
Yeah, yeah. And
he knew he was doing well and just, it was one of those things.
Yeah, it's just, you know, listen, you know, my thing to him is I've lost two in a row, you know, and got cut from the UFC, and I came back to have the best fights I've ever had.
Oh, right.
And went on to win the title, you know what I mean? So there's no reason, you know, that he's far from getting cut. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
It's not the same situation.
Right.
But there's, and I'm not nearly as, I feel he's way more talented, so I think he's going to, I think it's just a bump in the road, and he'll be back.
Yeah, of course.
But as far as, so then I met up with you after the Joanna fight, because what I did, and we'll get into all those fights, but right after Chris fought, I was with Chris for a while and his family, and then when he went to get stitched, my buddy Abe had got a skybox, you know, so I went up to the skybox and I met up with him and Pete Drago's cell and some of our crew, and I had a few shots of Patron. Liquor doesn't answer everything. It's not the answer for everything, but I was depressed. So they had some like ravioli up there. They had some nice catering and shit. So I ate some of that. And I did a few shots with the guys. And then I came down and hung out with you the rest of the night.
Yeah, I was wondering where I thought Matt might have left. I sent you a text. I'm like, I hope Chris didn't go to the hospital. Yeah. And Matt went with him.
I'll tell you right now.
I didn't expect to see you.
Yeah, if Chris would have went to the hospital, I definitely would. I would have jumped with him, man, because I fucking...
Sure.
Whatever. But he didn't. He had to get stitched up there, which is great.
And he didn't have a headache or anything? He was okay?
No, he did good. He was answering all the questions. Even if you see him in the post-fight thing afterwards, which you probably saw, he sounded great. You know, and he's still got his, you know, he's answering all the questions. He's got his marbles. It was just more of the, the cuts, you know. But so then, you know, not a lot of times if my guys lose, I just leave the arena.
Sure.
I just go back. But I'm like, you know what? This is such an epic event, and I know how the tickets were such a hard thing to get, and he gave me such good tickets. I'm like, let me take one fight off, and then I'm going to go down there and try to enjoy the rest of this thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's not like the guys. I'm like, that's what Chris would have wanted. No, but I'm not. You know what I mean? It's not like the guy. But, you know, I just, you know, it's depressing. But I got my head back in the game, and I had a great time with you the rest of the night. You know?
By the way, we can't forget two fights early. Tim Bosch.
Yeah.
He fucking really hits hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was a buddy of mine with
Rafael Natal.
Yeah, Sapo. Yeah, that's the name. You're not going to find a nicer guy than that guy. So that was very depressing to me. Dude, I'm just going to jump off a cliff. Thank God Frankie won. But
Frankie won. And what did you think of and Jim Miller won? I like Jim Miller.
And I don't want to get off of Tim Bosch, by the way. I don't.
No, that's okay.
The poor guy's like, yes, they mentioned me, and then that's it. But I like the barbarian. You know, I think he's always entertaining, and he's dangerous, man. Yeah. He's always dangerous, and he's real dangerous at this weight class. He fought at a higher weight class also, and I think
they fought at middleweight.
No, this was middleweight.
It was, yeah.
He fought at 205. Okay. Yeah, but I think this is a better weight class for him. You know what I mean? I think he's a beast in that, and he hits hard. You know, and he's a dangerous guy. You know. You know, and I like, and Sapo, Rafael Natal, is always an entertaining guy, and you know he took a beating, you know.
Yeah.
Shit, it's the name of the game. I like that that Tim Bosch was giving a lot of respect to his coach and trainer Marcus, the Irish hand grenade Davis. You know Marcus Davis?
I don't.
Yeah, I introduced you to him that night. But I introduced a lot of guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but he's an old school fighter. You know, he was on the Ultimate Fighter season 2. He used to wear the skirt, the fucking kilt.
Young lady I date.
He lost to Dan Hardy. He had a nice fight with him. And I'm thinking of all the fights that he didn't come up on. I'm trying to name a fight. He and Nate Diaz beat him, but he's a tough guy. He beat a bunch of other guys that I'm fucking, I don't know, man. I wish I could fucking.
That's right.
The guy's a tough guy, though. He's a good guy. I'm like, I'm gonna see him. He's gonna be like, dude, you mentioned the fights I lost. But anyway, I think that's nice that he's helping him out, and they have a nice thing going on. And that's nice. It's good when a retired fighter just passes that
sure.
on. And the guy, the Barbarian, obviously was really happy with his training camp and whatnot. So I'm happy for Tim Bosch, you know.
And
who else were we just
Khabib,
talking about?
I'm gonna try to say his last name.
Yes.
Nurmagomedov. Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
Johnson. I thought Michael Johnson was very smart in the first round.
I thought he was fucking phenomenal.
Really good.
The first 3 minutes, I'm like, he's doing everything he should be doing. He's going to the body. He's going low. He's mixing it up.
Yeah.
He's keeping a good distance. Oh, he landed a punch or two. Oh, what's going to happen? And then that fucking Khabib is like, dude, that, what a gorilla.
If he gets on you.
Dude, he gets a grip.
You're
the
finished.
Takedowns, he's got to be a different kind of strong.
Well, how good is Michael Johnson?
He's
wrestling?
Good. He's good at taking away. He's fought guys where he's fought in Joe Lazone, and he's fought in other guys that are good. I mean, he beat Edson Barboza. That's correct.
Was that Michael Johnson? No, Khabib did. Was it Michael Johnson?
No, wait, no.
I could be wrong.
No, I'm thinking, Michael Johnson definitely beat him.
Okay.
And Barboza's no slouch.
No, he's one of my favorite fighters. I should have probably known that.
He's that's all right. Dude,
it just hurts me when he loses.
There's so many freaking fights. But, no, Michael Johnson's a tough dude. He just knocked out Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
So he's no slouch. Like I heard Khabib in an interview afterwards saying a lot of guys would have got out of there quicker. Like they would have tapped out when, you know, I mean, Khabib was putting it on him. He had him in bad positions. And then he got that beautiful Kimura. That's what I love. Did anybody tell you about the Kimuras I love? See the shoulder lock he got on him? It was fucking beautiful. The way he was distributing his weight was the thing. It was beautiful. It's going to rip right off. That's it. That's game over. Try to be stubborn, you have balls that can go in a dump truck. You're getting your shoulder taken off.
I thought of you the whole fight because I've seen guys when he was on that position where he's pounding him, and then every time he starts to post up, he pulls the arm.
Love it.
I've never seen anybody do that better.
Beating the shit, and then he had it pinned behind his back.
Dude, he was fucking holding under his arm with one hand, beating him with the other, and every time he tries to get up, yanks it back. I'm like, that's how I would get beat up. Like in my face in the corner with my arm. It looked like so claustrophobic and frustrating.
Khabib Khabib is one of my favorites to watch, man. He's such an animal. He's so strong. He's so fucking strong. I know people say, oh, he's strong, huh? No, he's strong. He got a grip. He gets that bear hug. And he does those knee blocks where he just like tosses you right to the floor where you see it's coming, but shit, man.
Now he's a lightweight, right?
Yeah, he's a lightweight.
So now people are talking, obviously, not to jump too much ahead.
Yeah.
But the talk was he had wanted a shot at Conor.
Yeah.
And who in the division gets it? I mean, I think Conor has to go to featherweight first and fight Aldo. Or vacate the featherweight belt. You cannot continue
jam
to
up
have the
featherweight.
You just can't. It's been a year.
Are we jumping to Conor? We could do that.
No, I'm only in the sense of Khabib. Yeah. Do you think Khabib would? Because every time somebody says, well, oh, fucking Conor better avoid him. Look, I'm not a huge Conor fan because he won't do our podcast.
Yeah.
However, that son of a bitch is great. He's fucking great,
man.
He beat the shit out of Eddie Alvarez.
This is the thing. Now, Eddie Alvarez is a seasoned guy.
Tough.
And people could say what they want about what they think of him as a fighter. He is very well-rounded. Very tough and very durable.
Yeah.
The guy, even like he said, he's been knocked down before, but he came back to win those fights. He is durable. He did not see those punches coming. He did not. That's how precise Connor's striking was. He did not see it coming.
Did you notice the look on his face, the shocked look on Eddie's face
when he was on the floor?
Yeah. Like,
well, he even says in the interview, he's like, I don't know how, he doesn't know quite how he got there. When you look at it, the way he lines it up and the way he lands it is fucking beautiful, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm trying to think of a fighter that could be as precise where maybe Anderson Silva in his prime, you know what I mean? As far as with the hands and how they I mean, it was beautiful. And now Jimmy kept bringing it up because he brought up last time and Eddie was laughing at
him. I actually just forgot it right now until you just said that.
I'm bringing it up now because you deserve this respect, Jimmy Norton, is his takedown defense. You know, I don't think, now listen, this is what I thought. I really thought, because Eddie would be the bigger guy, even though he didn't look like the bigger guy.
No, Conor looked bigger.
Kinda's height could throw you off, you know, with that. Because I don't think Eddie's that tall. But, you know, look, I look at what Eddie did to Anthony Pettis. And Anthony Pettis is a guy that I hold in very high regard.
Sure. Because
he's a very good fighter, former champion. He's got a dangerous submission game, good guillotines, good arm locks. He's not bad off his back. Makes it hard to get taken down. But he got totally neutralized by Eddie Alvarez when they fought. Just neutralized. I don't think he got an offense off. Right. I haven't seen that fight in a while, but I'm pretty sure it was one side of Eddie smushing him up against the cage and getting him down. And even if he'd pop back up, getting him down. And he has that endurance to do that. He couldn't get close to Conor.
Right.
He shot in once. And again, you know, southpaw. But what do you call a fight side to side? Either side, Pettis. But Conor, southpaw, that can make things a little bit more of a harder time. But he didn't get near him. If he did get near him, Conor took it away.
Up on the key, on my cage, couple times trying to...
He took it away with ease.
Yeah. And that was where because I think Eddie kind of planned on being able to take him down when he wanted to.
Yes.
So if things get too rough or he keeps hitting, you could actually get in there and put him on the ground and he just could not do it.
Conor sees it, man. He sees it standing up and he's able to execute it with his strikes and... To do that to Eddie, man, let me tell you, I'm going to have a hard time picking against him in the future, Conor. I really am.
I'll tell you who's going to be Conor, not name-wise. People, all these guys, like Jose Aldo is a kind of more traditional martial artist.
Yeah.
Eddie kind of had that attitude. And I find that those are the guys that can be rattled a little bit because this is a lot of outside of the realm of what they're used to competitively, the attitude of it. Nate Diaz wasn't thrown because Nate is like that. Nate's like, fuck you.
Nate's awesome.
Fuck you. Like, he's that guy. So that doesn't overwhelm him. I think that when you saw Eddie walk into that arena, it's an hour from home. I'm like, why are they booing this guy? He's a great fighter.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
What I found,
why are they booing him?
What I found interesting, and this is a guy with a lot of experience. Eddie's got world experience all over the world. He's fought in Japan how many times? He's been champions in other organizations. And, you know, he fought for the title. He got the title from fucking RDA, who's a killer in himself. So you think... You know what stood out for me a little bit is when I saw Eddie in the post fight interview, and he was saying that between rounds he didn't have a good communication. It was very loud, he said, and he didn't have a good communication with his corners. He couldn't tell you what they said to him. Like he was like, and I got this on the UFC site. I saw him in the post fight interview, and he was basically saying that he it was very loud, and he couldn't hear, you know, his corner, like what he couldn't hear what they were telling him, and that was odd to me. Listen, I fought in Montreal in the rematch with GSP, and it was the most hectic, loudest thing I've ever been a part of, with chants of "fuck you, Sarah," deafening. The ring was vibrating.
Did we insane. Chant that before you get here?
100%. You chant that. First of all, I don't think I don't hear you when I'm in the bathroom in there for 20 minutes. You're like, these motherfuckers in there. 20 minutes. We said, take your time, but this is ridiculous. But I knew, I could tell you what Longo was telling me. Like, I knew, but so it's like, yeah. That's odd to me.
I think you're a little shell-shocked.
That's what I'm saying.
Was it three times in the first round?
Hey, listen, again, that might have been something too. Maybe it's because he got his bell rung.
And he fell. I think he got knocked down twice and he fell once. I could be remembering
Anytime
that wrong.
Anytime Connor hit him, he hurt him. And it was, and I remember thinking, like, dude, he's hitting him. Anytime he's hitting, touching him, he's hurting him. He's just fucking, it's just wild, man. Like,
didn't Eddie start attacking the lead leg too? Isn't that what he started doing?
Well, he did that in the beginning. And yeah. I thought it was brilliant.
It was a very smart move.
But he got off it right away. And then he said that was part of the game plan, was the kick. And then looked up, enforced the wrestling, and he said he got caught up with his hands. He couldn't say why.
And even if he couldn't hear his corner, that means Connor couldn't hear his corner either.
Yeah,
it was the same volume for both of them.
But
it,
something was off. Whether it was he got his bell rung, shell shock from just the whole situation going on. I mean, it's very odd because Eddie's not a guy. It's not his first fucking rodeo, man.
No, but
he's been in the thick of it.
He was the headline person of the biggest event in UFC history in the Garden.
It's true.
And he's walking into Connor's house, it feels like, and he's a mile from, he's an hour from home.
Listen.
It's overwhelming.
And Connor is fucking that good.
He really is
good standing. And you know, styles make fights. And I truly thought that Eddie was going to use that game plan similar to fighting Pettis, but he never got close to doing that. And it didn't look like he was really... He said he fought stupid. He said he did not follow the game plan at all and paid for it.
Well, he was not supposed to stay standing up.
No, he said he wasn't supposed to stay in front of him and use his hands. And, you know, he really tried to impose the wrestling, enforce it. And he couldn't for whatever. And he said he didn't have an answer for why he didn't do it. He just couldn't do
that's
it.
That's one of those things. Yeah, like, have you ever felt nervous where you're like, I'm not here right now. I feel like I'm here, but I'm not. Yeah. It's a weird nervous thing where you become disconnected from where you are. That's my only guess, because you could see it on his face when he went down. I think Connor was faster than he expected him to be, and I think he hit a lot harder than he expected him to hit. People think, because Connor talks shit, he doesn't hit hard. Yeah. And I think he hit a lot harder than Eddie thought he would.
When we had Dustin Poirier on, he said Connor's the hardest hitter he's ever felt. And that's that guy's no joke either.
My buddy Dean Thomas was saying how he was arguing that with fucking Master Henzo when Henzo was on. He's like, man, I disagree. First of all, it's always good to see Dean Thomas. I saw him over the week. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I like him.
He's always good to see. But, you know... what the fuck was I up to?
You're talking about
isn't that great?
Henzo and
Dean Thomas was saying that I disagree. I think that he doesn't hit that hard. He just gets him in the right spot. I don't know what the fuck he was talking about, but I think he does hit that hard. That the timing of it.
Dude, he knocked out Aldo with one punch and he fucking floored Eddie Alvarez four times.
If somebody said, "Oh, well the Aldo thing was, you know, he got caught." Well, then you can't listen. So then Eddie's just getting caught too, and this he's doing something.
Yeah, and Nate got caught for five rounds and couldn't put him down. I mean, come on.
I met one of the guys in his corner, man. I don't know if it was the Muay Thai guy or whatever. What a nice guy. And dude, it was funny. I was because I stayed over at the DoubleTree on 30th. I stayed over just Saturday night. So I parked. I was afraid I wasn't going to get a parking close to the hotel for whatever reason. So I saw something on 30th. So I parked on 30th, so I had to walk a couple blocks.
By the way, here's why Matt's such a good guy. We walked back from the Garden together. I was going to get a cab. I walked towards his hotel, and Matt's like, "Oh, I'll wait with you." He wanted to make sure I was like his date. He wanted to make sure I got in a cab because he knew I was very vulnerable out there alone. That's a good guy. Matt looked out for me. Even though I did okay, I was like, "No, I'm all right, dude." He's like, "Yeah, I'll walk with you."
Yeah,
he knows I'm a little fresh fish. I'm a little problem waiting to happen.
I didn't want Jimmy to get attacked.
And that's a good dude.
I'm like, "You got your whistle? Your little rape whistle?"
No. Text me if they're hitting you, Jimmy.
Text me when you get home. No, but... listen, we had a great time besides
the it was amazing.
I mean, I think, you know, those shots definitely helked me out. And then I got back into it. Holy cow.
We got to talk about my favorite fight of the night.
Wonderboy versus Woodley. What a great fight.
Dude,
And what's so great about this is it sounds like they're going to have a rematch.
They have to.
There's no way they can. First of all, before I say who I thought I should have. I us and everybody around us, Jimmy, if you could agree to this, you tell me. The popular opinion was it came down to the fifth round. I don't know. Yes or no. Around, I remember the guys around us were thinking it came down to the fifth.
Yes. And the guy next to us even said, and Chris uttered it too, if there was a 10-8 given to the fourth. But yeah, I thought the fifth round was it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. But even if it was that, that would equal what now? Is that what happened now?
I don't know if they did it or not. I just don't know. It was 47-47, 47-47, and I think 48-47?
48-47 Woodley, yeah.
I mean, that close. But it didn't matter. The result would have been the same anyway.
Well, it's a draw.
Nobody had Thompson ahead. So that says something. Yeah. None of the judges had him ahead.
I thought it came down to the fifth round, personally, and I thought Thompson won the fifth round. But, you know, again, those 10-8s, you don't know. I mean, that could change the story, too. So it is good that they're doing it again. And let's give credit to Woodley where there were some people, including myself, that were saying, man, five rounds is a long time to fight. And that didn't look like a problem. He looked at, and not to mention, he even put that guillotine on, which is a lot of energy, and he still had to fight. And that was the fourth round.
But he didn't punch a lot in the fifth round. I'm wondering, they were saying his arms are maybe tired. Maybe they weren't. Maybe he was just playing.
It might be, but it's also a fifth round, but you want to see tired. You see some fights with guys with their hands on their knees. I mean, it's exhausting in there. And this guy, he fought. He could fight five rounds. So that answer has been answered. That question has been answered. And when I talk to him again, I'm definitely going to tell him that, hey, man, I was one of the guys that was questioning it because we haven't seen it. You know what I mean? And now we've seen it. And that's going to make it even more exciting for this rematch.
Thompson is a tough man, motherfucker, what a fight. He's tough. Because Tyron is so strong.
Yeah.
And he had him. How did he not have his neck when he was bent over? Like, how the fuck does he?
I know what's funny.
I thought they were going to stop it.
Woodley said that it was because his head was so small.
Yeah.
That his head popped out, you know? But he weathered that fucking thing. He weathered it. And he started throwing some shots on top.
At the end, yeah. I mean, Woodley really, really hurt him that round, though.
Dude, oh no, man, he hurt him.
He won't give up. This guy, even the one loss he's taken, if I remember correctly, I want to say it was his second fight in the UFC. I could be wrong, but it was on the ground, and he got pounded terribly, and he just could not get off the ground. Who beat him the second fight? I just don't remember.
Matt Brown, are you talking about?
You know what? You're right, it was Matt Brown.
Matt Brown versus...
good memory.
Yeah, versus Thompson.
Versus Woodley, Thompson. Yeah. And it was all on the ground. He got pounded, and he just couldn't get out of it.
He's tough.
But he doesn't give up. He doesn't tap. He doesn't quit.
He's a tough kid. Some people, they...
You think that's his dad? Like, I wondered this while I was watching, because his father's in his corner, and his father is like one of those fucking real men, tough...
Mr. T, they call him.
Like, I would rather get my arm broken than tap or give up in front of my father.
You don't want to answer to Mr. T.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, though. He is. I like him a lot.
I didn't meet him.
No, I seen him. And then after, late at night, we went to we went up in his room. And you know what's funny? I got a funny story, too, if you want to hear about it.
Sure.
Yeah. I just missed it because in the bar that they were at, the Athena, the hotel. And in the bar over there, Longo was there with his wife. And Drago was there with his girlfriend, Ashley.
What night is this?
This was the night of the fight. So they were there just having a couple of beers in the hotel, you know, and at the bar and whatnot. And so I went over there, like, yo, because we went there. And then after that, we went up to Chris's room.
Oh. You know?
So this was after the whole thing. So I just missed the chaos. There was some fucking drunk guy, like fucking 6'6", some big dude, but big and skinny, right? He goes over and he starts petting Longo's wife's head. So fucking she, and I don't think anybody saw it. And then she said something. And again, I got there right after all this. So she goes, oh, hey, listen, oh, I guess she expected somebody else. Because she feels like she's an older, she's very attractive for a lady in her 50s.
Sure.
But, and she looks younger than she is, but she's, you know, she's all innocent. She's like, oh, I guess you thought I was somebody, you thought I was somebody else. He's like, no, you know, he's all drunk and stuff like that. So then Drago was
there. Wait, did they see Ray sitting with her or no?
No, I don't, man. I know it was crowded. They were all together, and this guy was lit. I heard he was lit.
So she's probably trying to save this guy from getting beat up.
Yes. So then.
You thought it was someone else,
so
didn't
then,
you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, no, she, nice really, no, she really thought she thought he was somebody else. Like, she was like that. And then we said, no. She's like, hey, listen, don't touch me. You know, that type of thing. So then it was almost a commotion, right? And then fast forward, the guy's all right. So then the guy gets up out of the chair. He was in a chair when he was did it. I guess they were all like, there was a bar nearby. It was very crowded. There's a bar. Yeah. So he was on a chair, and I guess he was turned out with towards like more of the open space, you know. And then it was very crowded, you know, bar, you know. It was the hotel bar.
Sure.
But it was like to the right of the hotel. It was like, I'm trying to, not really a dance floor, but, you know, it was pretty compact, sure. In other words. Everybody's right next to each other. So then he stood up, and he was a tall motherfucker, right? Really tall, like something like almost 7 foot. So then after that got died down for like a split second, he was like, oh, you know, because the guy started getting wild up. Like, hey, dude, who you think you're touching?
Who got wild up?
I think it was Drago, Pete Sell, my buddy, and some of the other guys that were there. You know, we had some guys there. So then fucking he goes to Drago's girlfriend, the mother of his kids, and he fucking goes to grab her ass, or he did.
What a jerk.
Next thing, you hear? Fucking Drago fucking smacks the motherfucker. Boom! They jump, Drago jumps on him, and fucking, then the bouncer came, and they all—
Wait, did he punch him or smack him?
He open hand fucking smacked him.
How
in the
humiliating.
Face. You know, Drago's the best guy you'll ever meet, man. I fucking love that guy.
Did the guy get me? Did the guy fight back effectively?
No, I think the fucking bouncers got involved, and the bouncers knew. They knew Longo. They knew, you know, and Drago. They knew everybody. Nice. What a nice guy. The guy was a nice. The security there was nice, and they seen this guy acting up before. And they just said, look, when they broke it up, from what they told me, they just said, look, you know, next time get us if the guy's acting up. Don't, you know. But obviously, a guy touches your girl. Drago's not having that.
He slapped
shit.
Him in the face.
Fucking open hand, fucking smacked him. Boom. And rightfully so. Absolutely. You don't put your hands on him. You out of your mind?
But did he not punch him just because of he's
a
fighter?
Yeah, I think he's smart enough to.
And you got
to
be careful with that.
Yeah. Drago had a few too, but he was, you know, hey, you know. I think he got up in arms when he went to mess with Longo's wife. And then the guy was like, all right, okay. He literally stood up. And went to grab fucking Drago's girl, or he did. I don't know. But then fucking that's it. So you got the warning, and then you're pushing your luck. I don't think so.
Slapped her face.
Fucking open hand, smacked them.
It's amazing how stupid people are. You never know whose wife you're grabbing, whose girlfriend you're. But that's the point. That's why I wish I was big. I got to take jiu-jitsu, just so I can handle that situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I told you that I don't want to be like, that's why I don't go to like a lot of clubs or anything.
Sure.
Or stuff like that. You know, but if it's after a fight, you know, you want to be able to have a beer with the guys or, you know, just chill, you know, with your friends. But you always got the chance of dealing with a drunken asshole.
Some asshole.
You know? Yeah, alcohol involved with anything. That's why you see shit at weddings. You see shit places where anytime there's alcohol involved, you know, you get, you know. It can make a little bit of an asshole, a bigger asshole, or even that can make some guys a totally different guy when they drink enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just swallowing my water, and I'm dying of thirst. You're supposed to drink up to 8 glasses of water a day, but who does? And Matt's drinking soda.
Fucking, why you throw me under the bus?
I'm saying it's okay because there's coffee.
There's
soda. There's a bunch of stuff that's better than water because water's bland and sucky.
You know what I wish I had?
What?
A hint.
You want some hint water?
Yes.
Well, it was started by Kara Golden, and it really is the solution to bland water. A few years ago, she had her fourth kid, and she was overweight. She had bad acne. She felt terrible. So she was drinking 10 diet sodas a day.
Did you say 10 diet sodas a day?
Which is unheard of.
That's not good.
Why did I just say that like I'm my aunt? Oh, my God, it was too much for one person's good. Because water is boring, but what other options are there? Juice is full of calories, and the no-calorie drinks suck. They're garbage. So she started Hint Water. Hint is pure water infused with the taste of fresh fruit.
Mm.
With Hint, drinking water isn't boring. They have flavors to suit any palate. Peach, watermelon, mango, grapefruit, and many, many more. There's no chemicals, no sugar. They're just great tasting, all natural, fruit-flavored water. Both Health and Self magazines have named Hint Water the best flavored water. And they know how important drinking plenty of water is to your health. Plus, you don't have to carry heavy cases of water back from the store. Have it delivered to your doorstep. We're all lazy. And sometimes you're like, yeah, I would drink it, but I don't feel like going to the store to get it. Well, they'll deliver it. So your lies are being exposed. No more excuses for your dumb soda drinking or your dumb fruit juices, all sugary and crap. As of right now, get a single variety pack shipped directly to your door, not to your neighbor's door, not to the deli downstairs where they're selling illegal stuff in front, to your door. including three bottles of Hint's four most popular flavors, pineapple, watermelon, crisp apple, and blackberry. That's normally $24. You get it for only $15 at drinkhint.com/UFC. That's drinkhint.com/UFC. Drinkhint.com/UFC.
Drink it.
You're listening to UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
You know, have you ever lost your phone? I'm sure you have.
Yeah. It's
very scary. You ever buy something with a credit card or, you know, connect to a public Wi-Fi or post photos on social media?
I did all that stuff.
These are everyday activities for me, for you, for Chris. They're also the day-to-day activities identity thieves prey on. And the more of them you do, the more opportunities these hackers have to steal your personal information. It's not a joke. It's really the truth. Recovering from identity theft obviously can take years and feel like a complete financial and emotional disaster. That's why I decided to help protect myself with Identity Guard. With Identity Guard, you get protection from a company that has been in the business for over 20 years, one that's helped protect more than 47 million people. You can also be protected. Identity Guard continuously monitors millions of transactions and articles, and they send you the news, the tools, the guidance that you're going to need to minimize your risk to begin with.
Oh.
And plus, if you were to be, look, none of us are perfect. There's no way to be 100% vigilant. So if you were to become a victim of identity theft, Identity Guard has a victim recovery specialist team that will be there to help you through the recovery process. Identity Guard even offers identity theft insurance with coverage of up to $1
million. $1 million?
Yeah, so they really believe in what they're doing. Get the identity theft protection service that's right for you. It's a real thing. Go to identityguard.com/podcast. I think we have Gegard Mousasi on the phone right now. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Very good, buddy. What's going on?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. You are fighting. Is it the 9th? Is that the date? What's the date? December
9th.
This coming weekend. And where is the fight? I have it right in front of me. You're fighting. It's a rematch with Uriah Hall.
No. Yes.
Yes. Belfast.
Oh, you are. Oh, so you're over there right now?
No. I'm leaving tomorrow in Belfast, Ireland. Tomorrow I go.
Now, listen, how are you, buddy? It's Matt Serra. So good to talk to you, Gegard.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you, too.
And let me tell you, I feel you're like the dark horse in the division, man. I don't feel you get the respect that you deserve. And I'm not trying to wile you up. I'm not trying to get you all heated. I'm just saying, I love your fights. I felt... your last fight was with Vitor Belfort, right? Where you just dismantled him. And I remember he threw something standing up. I think it might have been a high kick that landed a little bit, and you just gave him. Usually, when somebody shakes their head or gives the finger where they wave and they say no, I'm like, oh, he's hurt. But you were. I knew you weren't hurt. You just looked totally in control. How you feeling? How you feeling with this rematch? You're fighting a guy that has a win over you, which was very shocking to me because I felt that I had you picked to win that fight and you were in control of that fight. How important is it for you to get this rematch with him?
Well, you know, it's a detour. I'm, it's just to settle the score with him. It's not going to get me anywhere closer to a title shot. But, you know, it's nothing personal against him. You know, it's I need it for myself, you know. I know I'm the better fighter. I just need to go and prove it.
Do you feel like in that first fight, you were in total control, that he just, it's one of those things where, like you said, you feel you're the better fighter, but you just got caught that night with the shit where you couldn't recover in time, but you feel 9 out of 10 times you're winning, or?
Yeah, definitely. You know, anything can happen. It's a fight. If I go there, I can get caught again, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think the chances are very highly, but, you know, it's a fight. Anything can happen. I don't care, you know? I'm taking the chance. He's giving me the rematch, so you have to respect that. It's a short notice fight for him and for me. So, you know, I don't hate the guy. I got nothing against him.
You seem like you were having good success on the ground in that first fight, but his defense was probably a little better than I realized it was. Were you expecting him to be as good on the ground as he was defensively?
Well, he was going for submissions. He was going for a leg lock. He was going for a Kimura. He was going for submissions. I wasn't expecting that. So the guy is not that bad on the ground. So I have to be careful, but I feel like I will have the better control. I will have the better wrestling. I will have the better stand-up. So it's all mixing it up together. Whatever the fight goes, I need to be sharp and precise and not too over aggressive, and I think I will be just fine.
And you fought at light heavyweight and you fought at middleweight in different organizations. What is it that makes you want to stay at middleweight now? Because usually guys like to not have to worry as much about the weight cut.
Well, I fought heavyweight also. You know, I fought the K-1 fight. I fought Mark Hunt. You know, so, you know, it's better not to cut weight. It's easier, less, you know, you need a lot of discipline for to not eat, to cut the weight and losing weight. That's, I think, the hardest part of the training camp, that discipline of losing weight. I think that's the hardest part. So it's a little bit more work, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're more hungry going into the cage because, you know, you've done, you sacrificed a lot to get in the cage. So it motivates you a little bit more than you don't cutting weight.
How do you feel style wise, you versus Michael Bisping, the champ? How do you feel you match up style wise with him?
Well, I match up really well against him. He's a guy that's more of a stand up guy. I can take him down. I got more arsenals with kicks and knees or. So, you know, I feel very comfortable. Style-wise, he's very good for me. But, you know, I do very well against stand-up guys. So it's a good matchup for me. But I don't know. I was watching his interview. He says he's going to defend the title until he loses and then maybe retire. So I don't know how long he's going to continue fighting. So maybe I will never get to fight him. But it's never again about who I'm fighting. It's always about the belt and who has the belt. That's the guy you want to fight. So I don't know if I ever will fight him, but you know, I like Michael Bisping. He's a nice guy, and he deserves to be champion. So hopefully one day I fight him for the belt at least. Yeah.
Did you watch the New York card? Did you see the Chris Weidman versus Romero fight?
Yeah, I saw the fight. I think you know, Yoel Romero is a guy. I think he's aware of his conditioning. So first round, he doesn't start. He's more defending. I felt first round, he won. Second round, I think Yoel Romero won because of his wrestling. I think he had a little bit better wrestling than
Chris.
I forgot.
Chris Weidman.
Yes. So, you know, the third round, you know, he's explosive, Yoel Romero. I've seen him come back from, he was losing against Derek Brunson in the first two rounds. He came back in the third. He was losing against Tim Kennedy. He came back in the third round. You know, the guy stays dangerous even in the later rounds, but he's a slow starter. But he knows himself. You know, the guy has a lot of competition even in wrestling, so he knows what he's doing. So he's fighting for the belt now, so he could be the next champion.
That's a very interesting point you made, too, about him, because I noticed how Chris was so aggressive in the first round. And Romero wasn't as aggressive, but that's a good point that he was probably doing that just to save himself for the second and third round.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think he wasn't looking for the knockout. He was just wanted to win the third round. But you know, anything can happen in the fight. He timed it well, and you know, I think if Chris Weidman wasn't too much of a trying to grind it out, he could have done maybe that knee would have landed, and he would have just won by points. Maybe if he was a little bit more patient, but that's always afterwards, you know, you never know. So, yeah, so, but I think he did well. He took him down a couple of times, Chris Weidman. It's unfortunate he lost because, you know, he's an ex-champion. He will come back. He will come back.
Thanks. That makes me feel better, buddy, because I've been upset.
No,
I think he senses.
I like Chris Weidman, you know, he's a nice guy. And so, I hope he comes back. Of course, he's gonna come back. But you know, it's not a good way to lose. That's the only thing.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we know it's a rough game, Gegard. We know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've been critical, by the way, of the way like some guys who get title shots. And so you think that Yoel deserves the shot at Bisping? Is that how you think it should go, or do you think maybe Rockhold should be given the shot?
Well, you know, I feel like Jacare deserves it, but at this moment, Yoel Romero deserves it more because he won from Jacare. He's on an 8 winning streak, so, and he beat just a former champ. So I think he deserves to fight for the belt. And after that, it's Jacare. I think, and then if I win this one, I want to maybe fight Luke Rockhold, and hopefully I will be next. But at this moment, it's I feel like Yoel Romero deserved this shot.
I'd like to see him versus Luke Rockhold. Gay God versus that would be a freaking fight right there.
That'd be a great fight.
But he's got his hands full. This is going to be a good fight. And that's this weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
This freaking weekend that you're fighting.
Uriah Hall.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm fighting Uriah Hall. The rematch, set that one straight. And then I hear Luke Rockhold is going to come back February. But maybe UFC is going to make the Jacare versus Luke Rockhold fight next to see who's the next guy. So I don't know. I'm just keeping myself busy.
Yes, you are, and that's gonna be the main event on the UFC Fight Pass, and the card begins at 4 p.m. Eastern time. For anybody wondering,
and Gegard, I also want to ask you too, because you've had some strong words about Conor, and we get a little sick of talking about Conor just because everyone does. But you have said that he didn't deserve that lightweight title shot. How do you feel after seeing his performance against Eddie, or was it nothing about the performance that caused you to say that?
Well, you have to give it to the guy. You know, it's a sport. You know, he deserved. Eventually, he deserved it because he won. So you have to give him this respect. But if you ask me who was the real contender, I would say Khabib or Ferguson deserved it more, you know. But I think, you know, everyone knows it's entertainment, you know. It's, you know, sometimes you get shots that other fighters don't get those. So, you know, I could fight tomorrow for a title and I could win it. But let's say I fight another fight, I lose. I never get to fight for the title. You know, sometimes you get opportunities that other fighters don't get. And, you know, it helps that he's Irish, he speaks well, he's entertaining. You know, you can't take anything away from the guy. But I like Khabib, so hopefully he fights him next.
And can you also talk about, you said something about it through private messages, he had threatened you with a knife. Can you clear that up, like what you were talking about there?
Well, I think he didn't, at the end of the day, I think he didn't, he was mentioning weight, and he said the knife can cut ear to ear, so probably he was saying, I'm lighter, but I can still beat you. So probably he was mentioning that, but, you know, I don't do my Twitter, so my management sent it to me. I just read it, and I thought the guy's talking shit, so I got nothing against the guy. I enjoy watching him his fight. He's entertaining, but, you know, sometimes he's overdo it. He's a little bit too cocky sometimes. So that's all, you know. Nothing against the guy. He's fun to watch.
Well, how did you guys get into it at all? I mean, you know, you're fighting a middleweight. He's fighting in a welter, lightweight, and featherweight. I mean, what caused you guys?
I didn't challenge him. You know, some guys were, some reporter asked me about some respect stuff, and I said, well, you know, people like expensive stuff on Instagram. It's not about, you know, it's promotional stuff. You see Mayweather, you see Conor. It's all about, you know, what I said, it was a lot about money and disrespecting other opponents. You know, I said something like that, so he didn't like that. So after that, he messaged me.
And you, you had an interesting thing too. One of the oddest moments of this card, the 205. Was the majority draw between Tyron Woodley and Stephen Thompson. And I had not seen that before. Maybe it's just me not having seen it before. But then I realized that you had one against Jardine. I think it was an upkick where they deducted a point. It's a very uncommon way for a fight to end, it seems.
Well, you know, with Jardine, I dominated him from the first round to the third round. You know, I was going forward. He got me down. I was getting up, and I was beating him up. I understand once you get a point deducted or you get a knockdown, it scores 50 to 48 rounds. So, of course, then you can have a draw. So probably Woodley knocking him down, that made it a draw. You know, it's all about how the judges see the fight. You can be aggressive, but get a knockdown or let's say, and then they scored 48-50. You know, it depends on the judges, where they look at.
And you also had a fight, and the reason I mention that is you had a fight against, a really great fight against Lyoto Machida, and it was, your second fight in the UFC, where there was a moment, too, where you upkicked when you were down. He had a knee down. And is that something that just in the moment it's kind of hard for you to just kind of see what was happening? Because it's something that can really cost you.
Well, I'm in the fight. The guy is putting his knee on the ground so he can punch me in the face. And then I'm in the fight. The guy is trying to punch me in my face. I'm just kicking him in the face. You know, that upkick is a very useful weapon. I can, you know, with wrestlers, you can do that. It's funny, you know, you can high kick somebody. you can knock them out in a coma, but oh no, don't upkick them in the face. Yeah, it's like, it's not even, yeah, it's more favorite for a wrestler, you know. And some people use that upkick rule. They put a knee on the ground and then.
Yeah.
I was in the fight. I was in the fight. Sure. It just happened. I didn't do it really deliberately.
And not to mention, Jimmy, in the old school, like in Pride in Japan, it's totally legal.
Sure, knees to the head, all that stuff. Yeah.
And it is, you know, it is a way to defend yourself. I mean, there's a guy looking to do damage on you, standing over you, and. It is kind of silly when you think about it.
Well, I'm sure it's just an instinct. Like you said, you're in a fight and a guy's trying to hit you. I'm just wondering, have you made an effort? Because that comes up from time to time, and it's just something to be aware of so it doesn't cost you a decision.
Well, you know, I've been working on my wrestling, so I don't have to be on my back anymore.
That's good.
Hopefully we don't end up in that position.
Well, you're fighting a guy I like a lot. You know, you're the number 5 middleweight, and he's the number 10 middleweight, Uriah Hall, and you're fighting on UFC Fight Pass, and the main card begins at 4:00 Eastern Time. That's this coming Saturday, November the 19th, in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So good luck, man. You're a great fighter, and that first fight was so interesting. I'm really looking forward to this rematch.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Gegard, man. We'll be watching,
thank
man.
You, Sarah.
I always enjoy watching you, bro.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, take care, man.
Have a good day.
You too, buddy.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, I do. I do like watching his fights.
Oh,
he's very good.
He doesn't
very
change
relaxed.
His expression. He
That's
literally,
what I'm saying.
He just relaxed. But I'll tell you, that Machida fight, I don't know how anybody fights that fucking guy. He's just impossible.
Who's that?
Leon Machida. The idea of him waving his hands, it looks like the most enraging fucking situation
and I
to deal with.
And I love Machida, but did you see Weidman's fight with him?
I did not.
Oh, you should. You really should. That's Weidman at his... I'm going to say at his best, putting it together. Weidman beat him up, beat him standing. Watch that fight, please, on Fight Pass. And then text me later.
I will. I'll text you. Here's what you know. You'll know I watched it if I send a cockpick.
All right, but don't watch it then.
No, I send cockpicks. That's a confirmation for me.
That's well, your send, code,
it,
yeah.
Send it to Chris.
You'll know I didn't.
Chris is going to text me later saying he watched it. Got some fucking...
No, Chris will get greedy. Chris will get greedy. Tell him to watch it again, you know, because he wants a second shot.
Yummy.
But I got to be honest.
Go ahead.
We all have our own unique tastes. I myself love Doug Stanhope. I love harsh comedy, for Christ's sake. I love The British Office. With CISO, it's your comedy. Get your comedy the way you want it. It's spelled S-E-E-S-O, and it's the new ad-free streaming service that brings you hilarious original series, ooh, hand-picked classics, weeks of stand-up specials, and more. It's bingeable comedy anytime, anywhere. And I believe Big Jay Oakerson's show, is that it, on CISO? Because I taped for that. It's a crowd work show. I think it's called What the Fuck's Up With You? I don't remember what it's called, but Big Jay does a great crowd work show, and I believe it's on CISO. Ooh. And they gave us complete freedom, say whatever the fuck you want, and Stanhope, the great Doug Stanhope, has a special on CISO, so it's S-E-E-S-O. The service is really taking off. Comedians are starting to go there to put out really original, unfiltered content. You know, because you want a place that's going to let you be you. They have every episode of Saturday Night Live ever, including new episodes the day after they air. They got Fallon, Seth Meyers, classics like 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, British comedies like The Original Office with Gervais, and the entire Monty Python catalog.
Ooh!
Which is, it's amazing.
It's a flesh wound.
Look, discover the next big names in comedy. You can watch icons before they made it big, like Louis C.K. Hannibal, who I also saw at UFC this weekend.
Oh, you introduced me to him.
Chelsea Peretti, a good friend of mine who's an absolute comic genius. Amy Schumer, Bo Burnham, so many more. CISO is ad-free. It's $3.99 a month. $4 a month, and you get all this with no ads. That's less than you paid for the latte or the artisan cold brewed coffee that you're holding right now, annoying everyone with. You can stream it anytime, anywhere, and virtually any device. Right now, our listeners can try CISO, S-E-E-S-O, free, for 2 months when you use promo code UFC at checkout.
Ooh.
Get access to shows you cannot get anywhere else, like the critically acclaimed original series like Take My Wife and Harmon Quest, to all 40-plus years of SNL. CISO is the only place that offers every episode ever made and the new episodes the day after they air. And this is going to be an interesting time with Trump as the president. SNL is going to be doing great stuff. I imagine they'll be mocking him. And I hear Chappelle. I saw part of his monologue. It was brilliant, as Dave always is. So don't be an ass. Go get an account. Oh, did you need this, Chris? Here. Print a new one.
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
You know what? I wanted to ask you, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough in this day and age if you want great candidates.
Trumps.
Now, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top sites. And now you can. ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100+ job sites, including social media networks like Twitter and Facebook, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. It cuts out so much of the annoying part of the process. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. Wow. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. That's ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered.
Well, listen, I love talking to Gegard. That was
fun. He was great.
That was fun.
Really good fighter, man. And I like Uriah Hall. I kind of want to see Uriah just because I like him. Sometimes, you know, when you pick fighters, how do you pick a fighter? I know you say you take it personally when they pick against you. Like Thompson and Woodley. I like both of them. I've interviewed them both, but I've spent more time with Steven because he's also coming here. We went and did that thing
buddy
with him.
Yeah.
So I rooted for Steven just because I've talked to him more. But I like Tyron very much, so I wasn't disappointed by the draw. It's hard to root against two guys you like.
That's a win. First of all, it's a win-win, that fight. And I'm glad they're doing it again, because I believe it got fight of the night, and deservingly
incredible.
So. And, you know, styles make fights. You got the powerful, athletic Woodley, and then you got, like, the karate master it's a video game, man. It's a great fight. Great, you know, stylistically, it's such a fun fight. And I think the rematch is going to be that much better. I'm glad they're fighting again. I really
have to
about that.
It's so devastating.
I just want to say, it's not 100% official that's happening, but Dana said it in the post fight, and that seems like what they're going to
do. Who else could people want to see?
Well, in fairness, I know Damian Maia is waiting in the wings. And this is what I would love to see them fight again. And then the winner fights Damian Maia.
Agreed.
Because Damian Maia deserves it. And Damian Maia has the possibility of being a problem for either guy, because I mean, you know, he's just the fucking Damian Maia, you know, his jiu-jitsu's on that level. So that would be if just to look at that for a second, if you put like Woodley versus Damian Maia, that would be very interesting. Where could Maia get past that onslaught and get a hold of that explosive wrestler Woodley?
Sure.
And how would he, because you know how he wants to beat him, so that would be very interesting. And that would be very exciting. And then also that, or else you would have him fighting, you know, Damian Maia fighting Wonder Boy Thompson, and then it's him trying to get close to him, and Wonder Boy keeping away with the karate, and if he could get him down. And so it's just either way, I'd like to see any one of those three.
Well, part of it is, you know, like, how can they sell the fight? Now, do they do this? Do they have them each fight somebody else? But then one of them might not be champion. I personally, that's the fight I want to see. And you know, no disrespect to Damian Maia, but I just, after this fight, you have to see part two.
That's probably going to happen.
Kind of controversial as far as the whole thing where they went back and they had to read it again and it was a draw. And it's a draw. It's a tie.
There's a big difference.
See what's up.
Even if it wasn't a draw, you got to do that one again. But the fact that it was a draw,
I'm sure they're both going to want to do it again. Do you think Apollo was happy with the first fucking Rocky, huh?
You know, he said the man wouldn't quit. Kids are yelling at my kids in school.
Yeah, what about his trainers? What about his trainer? He's all wrong for us, baby.
Yeah.
He's all wrong.
Don't need
He's
it.
All wrong for us, baby. That you hit that man. I seen you hit that man harder than any man that ever got hit. And the man kept coming. That was some powerful stuff. Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, I swear, my nipples get hard.
When
Adrian comes out of the coma, and she's like, I want you to do one thing. You know what I'm going to say.
Eat my pussy.
He gets a little closer. But honey, you were in a coma. It smells like cheese. I don't monster. But anyway.
I haven't come since the first fight.
You haven't showered. Since Rocky Jr. came out of your snatch. Anyway.
Rocky Jr., who came out with a fucking head of hair like Governor Gary Johnson. Holy right? shit.
You see the hair on that kid?
Oh my God. Look like he was 41.
Shit. It looked like if that was blonde, it would look like the fucking headdress that Khabib wears.
Yeah.
Little kid was wearing that. Little baby, hairy fucking little kid. But yeah, Rocky too was. Well, she said win is what I was going to say.
I know.
Okay, good.
How bad did you feel, by the way?
Talk to me.
For Cowboy, because Gaslam didn't make the weight. So that was a middleweight fight. Welterweight fight that would have put one of those guys even closer to a possible. Because don't forget Robbie Lawler, too. I mean, Robbie yeah. Lawler can't be, you know, he's the ex-champion. Even though it wasn't a great fight between him and Tyron.
Yeah.
He's still got to be, you know, still one of these.
But, hold on. When you said that about Cowboy, let me look at my notes. I got a nice note here about him. Wait, fuck it. La-da-dee, la-dee-da. Where the fuck
is... Oh, my God,
this is
the other stuff.
Wait, hold on. Where can you tell? I want this. The fuck?
Wait, did you just get surprised that there was more information? I told you guys.
Watch this.
I know you did.
Okay.
Look at Chris. Look at Chris, the producer, growing nuts. He's going to start... He knows that people love him on Twitter, and he's going to start barking back, Jimmy. He doesn't need this shit.
Because he does need this shit. He's a bully. He bullies the talent.
Don't be a bully.
I don't like it.
He's got... You know, you don't know who a guy is till he has power. You know, I think he's that's getting right. some power. He's fucking, I'm sorry, Chris, the producer. But listen, hey, you know what's exciting? You know what's almost worth Kelvin missing weight? That's fucked up. He shouldn't have did that. Not only shouldn't he have done that, Dana White says about Kelvin Gastelum.
Gastelum.
That's what I said. I said that shit. Why do I always second guess myself?
Because you don't have self-doubt.
I'm an ass.
And you're humble.
And I am. I try to be. He said he will never let him fight at 170 again. He goes, I think he missed this one by 10 pounds. So, yeah. You know, Kelvin, congrats on your new career as middleweight. I think you're going to do fine. Hey, listen, that guy's a tough guy. He could do fine. But
I just felt very bad for Cowboy.
I felt bad for Cowboy. Big but stage. You know why I'm happy about this? Because even though that fight looked awesome on paper, you know what fight looks even more awesome on paper?
No.
Over here, this is what I'm reading. Cowboy Cerrone is going to be fighting at UFC 206. Wait. Has been set for...
No, it's Rashad Evans, Tim Kennedy are fighting.
No. Cowboy versus Matt Brown.
Is that going to happen or no?
Yeah, that's official.
Oh, you scared the fuck out of me. No, I thought I read that he was going to fight him, and then it got canceled. I just... You just almost saw your friend shit himself on fuck. I thought I was fucking up. No, he's going to fight. Cowboy is going to fight Matt Brown at UFC 206. Yeah. Jesus. Oh, don't make me second guess myself like that. Look, I'm sweating now.
And is that the card?
That's a great fucking
fight.
That's
an amazing card, too. That's Ronda fighting Amanda Nunes?
No, that's Cormier versus Johnson.
Jesus Christ, I'm losing track. And what is Ronda's? 207?
207, yeah.
Oh, is this December 10th?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's right around the block. And that's great.
Who do you pick? Cormier Johnson, I mean, fuck.
No, what? I'm talking about...
I'm just saying.
Oh, sorry.
I'm
Cowboy
excited.
Versus Matt Brown. What do you think about that? That's going to be a fucking dogfight.
Let me say it would be advantageous for Donald to keep the fight standing.
I don't know. I mean, Matt Brown's a nasty motherfucker.
Yes,
standing.
He is. I just think it would be a little bit better for Cowboy to keep the fight standing. That's just my take.
This is going
to
be a nasty fight, man. That's going to be... Fight of Night written all over it.
Yeah. After what seeing Matt Brown did to Stephen Thompson on the ground.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see anybody put in that horrible position.
Well, he's got those elbows, man, and he's a nasty, he's got that nasty, he's got a great attitude for fighting, you know, like a junkyard right. dog, you know, let off his leash. All right. Listen, really quick, not really quick, but Misha Tate and her fight versus Raquel Pennington. Was
how strong was Raquel Pennington?
She looked really strong.
Jesus Christ, she was picking her up and carrying her around.
Yeah, but she looked good that fight. She was putting it together nice. And then you know, Misha said, first of all, when I seen Misha before the fight, I seen her a couple of times. And Chris, the producer, she did tell me that I should smack you again. She has a good sense of
did
humor.
Did she actually bring it up?
I swear to God, I seen her. Well, I seen her.
Well, Matt, he didn't bring it up.
And I brought it up, though. I did. Oh. I go, hey, listen. I go, hey, once again, Misha, I'm my producer. And, you know, she gets it, though. She's smiling. She's saying, yeah, you should have smacked him. Or something like that. So she's a good sport, you know, which I like. And, you know, hey... I enjoyed watching her fights, man. She had some great fights. Her versus Kat Zingano was a battle, and her fights with Ronda, and you know.
And she took the belt from Holly.
And she, what about her fight? Yeah, what about her? Listen, she got the highest honors you can get. She became the champion. And she was, before that, she was the Strikeforce champion. She was, She had a legit career. Yeah, I'm gonna miss watching that. Watching her fight.
She fought always well, and she fought on a lot of big cards.
You know.
And look, she said at the end, "It's not my time anymore. It's the future's time." Pointing at Raquel Pennington.
That's nice.
Of her to say that. And I thought Misha was going to get her fucking neck broken because she was climbing the fence. I'm like, stop it.
But didn't you just
say... What are you
say,
doing?
You know what's funny about that? You were saying about Diego Sanchez. Did you ever see that before? Well, we just seen it.
Yeah, I thought of that too. Even though I asked Ricardo Lamas, who, by the way, nice guy. I saw him. He goes, hey, Jim. Like, make me feel terrible.
Oh, by the way, at that bar I went to, I ran into Ricardo Lamas because I got there late. Let me tell you, we might have to have that guy have a couple drinks before he gets on here again. That guy's got a great Bobby De Niro. He does it, and he's got the face for it too.
Yeah, but he does a good taxi
Bobby
driver.
He does a good Bobby De Niro. You got to see him do. Like, I know the fucking guy, Bobby. What am I, an asshole?
Well,
I don't fucking know the guy. Did you ever call him Bobby?
But you only call him Bobby. All right, not Bobby.
Well, you know him. I don't fuck Robert De Niro.
You don't call him Robert. You call him Bobby.
I gotta call him Robert.
Or I just go, hey, get over here. That's how I talk to him, and he responds.
But he does a great De Niro. You got to see it. He was doing it. And I go, dude, you got to do that on the next show. What the fuck?
All right.
He
was doing Taxi Driver?
I forgot what he was. I think he was going a little bit. Just a little bit.
A little bit.
I do a good De Niro. You disrespected him a little bit.
That's Goodfellas. I do.
He might have did that.
I do a great De Niro.
Do you? Let me see.
Yeah. Joey. Good, huh, guys?
Very good.
Pretty good. Are you talking at me? Fucking, do you think it was him? He does these impersonations.
Where's the sound effects of the fucking boo? No, he's fucking great. No, he loves it. Jimmy's fucking
I love a good boo.
Jimmy.
And now, what do you think, too? This is kind of, and again, enough, I know the kind of talk, but he, at the press conference, he was like, I want my piece of the pie. He wants a piece of ownership. But again, they have all these celebrity owners in the company now. I kind of don't blame a guy who's making so much money for the company going, look, you're letting these guys buy in.
Connor's. Yeah, hey, listen, I don't know. That guy, give the guy what he wants, man. The guy's entertaining.
Then again, let me ask
you. The guy's entertaining. Whether you want to watch him, you want to see, I want to see him lose. I want to see him win. People want to watch him fight. And he shows up to these fights and he delivers.
But if he goes to Bellator or wherever else is available, does he have the same? I mean, you haven't heard as much about Benson Henderson or, Rory McDonald.
Listen,
like, what if Connor leaves the UFC? He needs them too.
Isn't he under contract?
No, his contract might be up.
I think he's trying to renegotiate possibly now, he might be at the end of it. I'm not exactly sure.
Listen, I think the guy's sticking around, but what do I know? I think the guy
has a kid coming.
He died. Hey, congratulations on that.
Good for him in March.
Congrats on the win, and also congrats on your kid. That'll change you for the better. It has to.
Dude, he was so good in that fight. You can't.
I loved it.
He was so good.
I thought it was phenomenal. I'll tell you, I met when I was walking. I told you earlier that I ran into one of his guys when I was walking over.
Yes.
I parked over. What a nice guy. He was in his corner. That's this is some crazy Irish guy. No, he wasn't. He actually filmed. I wish I got his fucking name, man. And I don't want to be disrespectful.
I'll give you his name.
But I think it's the guy who was holding the pants for the Muay Thai. It wasn't Kavanaugh.
Oh.
It was one of his other guys. I don't know if you can look it up. We got a picture for me.
Superfoot Wallace.
No, stop it. Okay. But anyway, so I'm talking to these guys, and these two kids come over to us, and they're selling Oreos for fucking, you know, like, oh, listen, there's a youth program. And so fucking the guy who was in the corner guy filmed me bargaining with the fucking kids to buy Oreos. And I saw him filming. Like, are you filming this? He goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. And fuck this bad Irish accent. But what a nice guy. Guy's a nice guy. He took a picture with me and stuff. And he was just a super nice guy. And I was giving a lot of respect to Connor. But he was filming me negotiating the sale of a of how much I'm paying for these Oreos. Because I didn't have change of a $10 bill. So I go, I gave the kid $5 for a little fucking pack. I go, that's like almost over a dollar a fucking Oreo.
Matt, is it Owen Roddy?
You have a picture of him?
Yeah.
Let me see. And I'll tell you right now who I was hanging out with.
Are we going to talk about the weigh-ins, too?
Oh, we're talking about that in a second. Let me see.
And Ioana, too.
Show me a picture. Let me show me a picture.
She's wonderful.
Let me see if that's the guy.
The guy in the red there?
Yeah, that's him. I was talking to him. What's his name?
Owen Roddy.
Say it again.
Owen Roddy.
Owen Roddy. First of all, nice meeting you. What a nice guy. Humble guy. Because he was there with some other Irish guy wanted to get a picture. And nice guys, you know, and he goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, man. And I noticed their accent. I go, hey, man, Connor was something else. He goes, yeah, he was in his corner. And I'm like, oh, and that's where I apologize. And that was him. Owen?
Roddy.
Owen?
Roddy.
All right, it's fun.
Just think that you owe Roddy some money. Owen Roddy, how much?
Oh, what a nice guy. So I met Owen Roddy, and somewhere, I'm going to tell him to put on Instagram or something the transaction with me and those kids, because it was kind of funny. There was a little bit over there. It was some, you know, haggling back and forth. Anyway, the guy's made out. $5 for some Oreos. But anyway, what a nice guy, and congrats to him, and congrats to Connor. And congrats to Dana White and the whole UFC. What a freaking, what a good card.
And congrats to Jim and Matt for Dana taking good care of us. Thank you.
What about in the back in the green room? Why am I the only one attacking the pasta in the green room?
I ate all the fucking, if anyone in the White family wanted fruit and it was gone, I ate it. I fucking wolfed all of Dana's fruit. I'm the worst.
That's why when they invite me in there, I go, I don't think I belong in there. You guys are all
but
bitches.
Now, you know, Dana's
my buddy.
He doesn't think it's weird if we walk in. Like, we saw him at the weigh-ins the night before. We waited outside his room because I didn't know if Madonna was in there or whoever was. I didn't want to fuck around. So then he goes, what are you guys, fucking shy all of a sudden? I'm like, oh, all right.
He said that to you because I was already.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, listen, I don't want to. Well, you know, I know Brian, one of his security guy, great guy. And, you know, I don't want to, I'm the guy where, I don't know if he's conducting business in the
absolutely.
Room. I'm more of that guy. Like you said, Madonna, I don't want to, I'm not the guy to start walking around like I own the place.
I don't want to fuck up his space.
You know, I'm not going to be like, I'm friends with him. Dana's my friend. You know?
Yeah, he's also there working. It's not just vacation.
Yeah, it's true. But he is a friend. And he does take care of us.
I don't want the boss to fire me. He's my boss. No, yeah. I'm not. I like him a lot, though.
Dana's fucking good. I like Dana a lot.
Came out at the end of the press conference. Oh, that was great. Really, she looked great, man. She looked
and
like
you got
ready.
And you got a picture with Travis.
Yeah, I've already. It's funny. I should have said hello to Rhonda. This is a problem I have. I'm very socially. Like I told you, I walked up to you and I said hi because I'm like I never.
Well,
say
we do
hi
the
to
show
people.
Together though.
No. I mean in Vegas. I'm so awkward. Like I don't. I'm socially a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just be a person. You belong here. Say hi to these people. I've interviewed Rhonda twice. She likes me. I know she does. I should have just said hello to her, but I'm like, oh, she won't want to say hi. I'm such an asshole.
Yeah, I like Rhonda a lot too. And I feel like I went up to her once I did like a signing with her one time for Zions back in the day. And she's always been nice, always super pleasant. This is what I feel. I feel that certain people are at such a level where people want to get close to them. And I want to show my respect to people, but I never want to be that guy that's trying to be like, hi. You know what I mean? Like,
hi to someone you know, though, is not a weird thing. Someone you've interviewed or talked to is not a bizarre thing.
No,
100%.
And I've been doing that. Like, I ran into Ricardo over there, and now it's funny. You feel like you know them, though. You do know. You bullshit with them for a while. It's always good to see them, man.
Hey, look, I helped her sell her book, and I helped her sell fire. I was happy to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I figured, like, we interviewed her. It was great. We really promoted what she was. She was very nice.
But as far as the
awkward
thing,
I'm just a weird guy.
No, this is what I think. I think the majority of people, and this is why I think they relate to me and you, which, oh, by the way, before I forget, I ran into a ton of guys that said nothing but good things about this podcast.
Absolutely.
I had some people that came up to me, and they took some pics, some guys from Florida, and they were very, and all from England, from Ireland. I mean, I got nothing but love, man.
Yeah, me too.
Nothing
buddy.
But love, Jimmy. No?
So great. No.
It's a different thing.
It's great.
You say no?
No, I'm saying no. It's like you say nothing but love. No, I'm like, no,
it's
been
true.
Really awesome.
It's amazing, man. And it's a different thing. Like I had some guys like, man, I feel like I know you and I love that. And I'm getting it all from the podcast. And, you know, sometimes they'll bring up the past fight, but a lot of it's from the podcast. I mean, it's good stuff, man. These guys from Florida were just like, oh, man. And they're bringing up about the movie Minute. They like that. It's funny when they bring up certain things. I'm like, man. I'm glad you like that stuff, man. And that social awkwardness that you're talking about, I think people realize that me and you are two weirdos. And the fact that we talk about that, I think everybody feels that shit. Yeah. Chris, the producer, is feeling it right now. We
he
know the guy for how many months now. He should
exactly.
be comfortable.
We don't like his Gegard Mousasi beard.
Fucking comfortable. Shave that thing. We'll shave it for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, leave Chris alone.
By the way, Travis Brown is a big fucking man. We all knew that, but there's a picture of me. It literally looks like I'm his son.
And everybody always gives Edmund shit. Rhonda's
her striking coach. Yeah.
I get along with the guy well, quite well. Everybody's always yelling at, oh, this guy's this and that. The guy's a fucking sweetheart to me. I don't know. I mean, the guy's always a good. I mean, I don't never hung out with the guy before, but I mean, well, actually, that's not true. I had a thing when we were in Maine. I hung out with him at there was a party Dana was doing for somebody, and I hung out with him a little bit there. But yeah, that very always such a pleasant guy. You know, I think that guy gets some. Unwarranted shit.
I'm gonna show Chris the picture you took. This fucking gigantic.
What did I do?
Now you took a lovely photo.
Oh, of, gigantic.
Of me and look at the size of Travis Brown.
Oh, let me see.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I'm a twerp.
Why don't you tweet that?
I will.
Just because I took the picture. You're up to his shoulder. And I was about to make fun of that, but I'm probably up to his pee-pee.
Dude, I'm a twerp, but Travis is a massive. His hand is bigger than my torso. Like, he's just a. He could palm my fucking ugly face and mush my head into a wall.
I think that he should be, if they do another 300 movie, he should throw that motherfucker.
Was the guy in the bar this big?
I didn't see the guy. I know the guy who's up close to 7 feet, though. He was supposed to be really tall. Because the guy was sitting down when he was being a wise ass in the beginning. And then he's like, then when Drago, somebody said something to him.
Did he stand up to fight or to leave?
No, he stood up. When he stood up, like, oh, like almost like, I'm sorry. You know, almost like, I think he said something like, he was fucked up, though. They said he was drunk. But then, like, he, like, went to, like, almost like he was, like apologizing for being, like, a little, touchy-feely with Lanko's sure. wife. And then he got up, and then he immediately just went to grab Drago's girl.
Did he know it was his girl or no?
He, that man, she was right next to him from what I heard. And that was the last thing that he did. You don't do that.
No.
You don't do that at all.
If I was that tall, I'd do that.
Oh, man.
I don't do that because I'm short.
Dude.
I can't.
See, that's what I'm saying, dude. I'm short, too. I'm short, too.
You wouldn't be afraid of a guy that tall?
Why? You ever hear that we're the same size on the floor? You probably say that to the big bitches you fuck.
I do.
We're all the same size on the floor.
Madam, we're the same size on the floor. Let me land my back with my legs up. Oh, wrong lady.
But anyway, fucking Jimmy's a sick fuck. He's so funny. But
a big guy like
fighting,
that.
No, dude, literally, dude, like, man, you get them to the floor. It's just longer limbs to fucking take off.
Really?
Oh, fuck yeah. Jiu-jitsu's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. I'm not going to go there and fucking meet up with him, J.R. Sullivan type, and fucking, let's do fisticuffs. I'd fucking get a hold of that guy, take him down.
But even in a small, cramped space like a bar?
It's even better, man. Closer I am to the guy, less damage he's doing to me and what I'm doing to him.
You could choke him?
He needs more space. You know what I mean? If something ever broke out in the studio, I'll fight anybody. I'll fucking smush him and I'll fuck against the wall and take him down and take a limb. Or they get on top, I'll take an umaplata.
Yeah.
You know what umaplata is?
Yes.
I'm going to show you. All right, Chip, Jimmy, what else? Who else? Let's just really quick, the fights. Did we give everybody the respect they deserve? There was so many people on the damn card. I think we absolutely did.
Jim Miller was great. Frankie was great. Jeremy Stevens.
What about Frankie Edgar, though, man?
Frankie was great. I was really worried about him, too, because Jeremy Stevens is a strong guy and he's a hard puncher.
Man, I mean, Frankie, you look at Frankie and he's fighting these guys, and most of the times he's the smaller guy, Frankie. Usually, 9 out of 10 times, he's the smaller guy. And you see him, like, with Jeremy Stevens, who's got a good takedown defense. And you see Frankie just lifting him up and just, oh, man, it's not working. He's not getting him up. And then, no, he's persistent. Oh, he's got him up. He's making him fly. I mean, he gives 100%. When Frankie Edgar fights, he gives 100%, man.
Yeah, very
dangerous.
I
was happy to be in the locker room with him and his crew, his buddy Chris Liguori, and of course, the great...
Mark Henry?
Yes, Mark Henry.
You guys share a locker room?
Holy fuck, I love that guy. I mean,
everyone doesn't get their own locker room?
No, we shared a locker room.
Do you think Connor had to share one too? I hope so.
Oh, probably not. I shouldn't say everybody shares one. No, but you know what? With the main event, they come a little bit later anyway, so. You know what I mean? Guys show up as the fights are going on, you know? We get like a later call time than the prelims and whatnot.
What time is your call time?
We had to leave to go down there for like almost 7 o'clock, and he fought at 10:30. You know what I mean? So we get on the bus around like 7 o'clock and we get driven over there from the hotel, you know, even though it's a block.
And it's a different bus than Connor's taking. You guys don't go together.
Nah, I think they keep that guy separate from everybody. You know what I mean? I really do. But listen, congrats to Connor. Congrats to all the winners. You know who the real winners were?
Hold on.
You know who the, Jimmy, do you know who the real winners were?
Not the fans. It was me and it was Matt because Dana gave us fucking amazing seats.
Yes, we were. Listen to me. I can't complain. And that's why
I'm always grateful for it. I never take that shit for granted, man.
Me neither. I'm going to text them after this. But we thanked them on here, so I don't think I got to text them. No, I'll text them anyway.
Yeah.
What am I, a prick? Yeah. Jimmy, I had a great time at the event with you after, of course, my heartbreak with Wyman. But
sure.
God, we all know he'll be back.
Of course he will.
Of course he will. He's got perseverance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he looked great before it happened. It wasn't like he fought. Like Misha, you could tell, was having a hard time the whole fight. She couldn't get going. Chris didn't have that issue. It was just a different issue.
Let's just wish her happy retirement. I'm sure she's going to move on to something else. But hey, man, what a great career for Misha Tate. You know,
sure.
We loved watching.
Date a comedian now. If things don't work out,
date a comedian.
Why not? I mean, again, hope you know if things work out for her with her fella, they do. But if they don't, why not? Go with a frumpy guy.
On that note, you have any plugs? No, I'm only kidding.
I do. I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale this weekend at the Improv. So come on down.
Okay, very nice. I think this Friday night I'm going to be over at the Ring of Combat. This is my buddy Lou Neglia's event. It was shown on that episode of Dana White Looking for a Fight. And it's a great event that he has. It's in Atlantic City. It'll be Atlantic City Friday night. So I will be down there. And I have three fighters fighting.
Good.
And I'm very excited about that. And I'll talk about more. I'll think about that more on Wednesday.
Awesome, buddy.
All right, buddy. Let's out of here. Let's get out of here.
Let's go make love.
What? Bye.
This has been a digital media production. Find your voice.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.